The reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 13 through 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let's pray. Dear God, bless Joey today with your words and speak to each one of us, changing us more and more into the people that you know we can be. Thank you for your scripture and your message. Let your Holy Spirit work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see you guys. I'm sure that many of you know me, For the people that may not know me, let me introduce myself. My name is Joey Chang, a missionary to the Tlingit Indians in Southeast Alaska, little town. In the town, the sweetest town in the whole world called Cake. Cake, Alaska. And I'm also the pastor of the Cake Memorial Presbyterian Church. My wife here. She just became fourth grade teacher, and also she worked with the children and women's ministry in our church. My 2 daughters, Lydia and Maria, they are 9th and 8th grade, and they love studying math. And I don't think they got it from me. But they love also playing sports, like my oldest one, Lydia. She did the regional. And she came in 22nd as a freshman, which is pretty good. Yeah, that's what they said. And I wasn't there, but and they also love to play basketball. And you know, the hands the same way. As a cake is pretty small, so if you want to play, you can play. Everybody are welcome to play there. So they're really happy with that. And so we've been there for the past 12 years. So let me just kind of explain to you and. That what happened past 12 years, and just from the beginning, how we got there. I came to the United States in 1997 as an exchange student from South Korea. Due to the financial crisis there, I couldn't return. So I transferred to King College in Bristol, Tennessee. My second year in college, I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. It was simply that physical plan, the worker that came to me saying, "Young man, I don't know you, but can I ask you this question? Do you believe that your name is written in the book of heaven?" That simple question. I grew up in the church. I was the youth leader and everything for past 25 years of my time. I thought that I can answer that question, but I couldn't answer that question. Just the Holy Spirit just hit me like lightning. I was stuck there and just in tears and didn't know what to do. Then he saw me from the distance and came back to me saying, "Let me explain to you what that means." Then after about 15 minutes of explaining that, John 3:16, that I heard it over and over, that came to me as my personal story. And he asked me the same question again. "How about now? Do you believe that your name is written in the book of heaven?" And I was able to say yes. And that was the moment that my life was changed. Then a final year I was in the college and I was doing an internship at the local pharmaceutical building. That the pharmaceutical building, they were turning some old offices into the like a mission agencies. So I was kind of putting some drywalls and all that, but there was a volunteer named Larry came, and he was mentally handicapped. So instead of he hitting the nails, he was hitting the drywalls. My job was going after him, patching all that. I was like, send Larry home, that I cannot do all this patching anymore. And my supervisor said, he wanted to be here. He doesn't get paid, but he wanted to be here to serve the Lord. I cannot send him away. And a few days later, I heard the ambulance came and there was Larry on the floor, got seizure. Bubble coming out of his mouth, eyes rolled. I never seen somebody got seizure. And my heart was completely broke. Not only because of what he was going through, but my selfishness that I was complaining to my God about my situation. I don't have a place to stay. I'm living in a small trailer. I don't get a 3 meals a day. I only have 2 meals and that came from the college cafeteria. But I'm way better than Larry on the floor. So that's the moment that I committed my life that I want to be a missionary. That wherever God leads me, I'll go. Then I get married to my wife And after I graduated from college, I follow my wife. Anybody here follow your wife? I'm the one. She was attending the Moody Aviation School to become a missionary pilot. We studied together and we became a certified airplane mechanic. Then I continued to learn how to fly the airplane following year. The day of my solo flight was exact day of September 11, 2001. My whole training got stopped, as you know that all the planes got grounded for 6 weeks. I couldn't continue to pursue with my aviation career. I failed a private license exam because I didn't have enough training. At the same time, I had a huge emotional struggle that I tried to learn how to fly the airplane to serve the people, but it can be a dangerous weapon. So after 6 months of discerning my future, God really helped me to go to the seminary. Somebody came to me saying, hey Joey, you can be a great pilot and great mechanic unless you study the Word of God. You cannot be a good missionary. So I went to Union Theological Seminary in Richmond, Virginia and became ordained minister 2007. But that I wanted to become a missionary, but serving in a church as associate pastor, you know, bigger the congregation that only gave me the time in the office and making bulletins and working on the website. I was like, this is not mission work. So I wanted to become a missionary so bad, and me and my wife, we was looking for opportunity, and from Richmond to Washington D.C. is only 2 hours drive. So, summer of 2010, I took my two daughters. My baby was only like 5 months old, and we went to Natural History Museum. And some of you've been there, and it's just beautiful. There's a skeleton of the dinosaurs and everything, and the third floor there was Alaska. It's like, what is this? You know, whenever you go through the museum, what do? Oh yeah, take a picture and move on because there's so many to look at, right? And in that section in Alaska, we stuck there for 1 hour. I was like, why do you like here so much? We're learning about the language in Tlingit and Haida and all kind of things, and maybe there's some pictures of Haines, I don't know. There was a bunch of stuff over there, like we love this. And I said to my wife, what you think about Alaska? Because we were already looking into Kenya, Thailand, other countries. And my wife said, no. Why not? It's going to be too cold. Then even we had a contact from someone from Nome, Alaska, and found out that they are really cold. And the pastor said, oh yeah, you, we'd love to have you as my successor. But the thing is that I have to be there 1 more year, but we wanted to go right away. So we're looking into some other churches. There's a Craig, Sitka, and Cake. Craig, they already found the pastor. Sitka was saying, oh yeah, we're interested in you. Send more information. And I just asked them, how many people apply? And they said, 15. Oh wow, 15 people applied. I'm just one out of 15. And about 4 months after I sent the letter to Cake, and finally I got a letter, the phone call from our elder named Marian Condro. And she said, I am so sorry that one of our elders, that she got divorced and she moved down to Seattle and she took your application with her. And she was unpacking 4 months later. She found your application and we love to have you here in Cake. And I asked her the same question. So how many people apply for that Cake? You're the only one past 4 years. This was completely no-brainer for me. That Cake it is. Cake it is. So November of 2010, with the help of the presbytery, that I was able to travel to Cake. And I couldn't believe it. People were not able to meet in the sanctuary because there was only six of them. They were meeting at the corner of the Bible, Sunday school room. They called the Winter Chapel. And the sanctuary right in the middle, there's a broken ping pong table. The people were playing ping pong in the middle of the sanctuary. And it was broken and abandoned. I had to clean up everything. I just went out there. It was November weather. It was a stormy day. So I looked at it. There was a siding was flapping. I was like, oh, I got to do something. So my visit for the interview that I'm preaching, that would turn out to be my mission trip. So I was patching everything and fixing and climb on the ladder that's kind of missing the bar. I was like, oh, is that going to be safe and all that? But I did my preaching and the elders came saying, we love you, we love to have you here, but there's one thing that we forgot to tell you. We don't have money. Oh, you didn't say that on the church information form. So they asked me to get a job. I was like, oh, just grew up in the church, went to Bible school, and went to seminary. I don't have any experience other than working in a small noodle shop delivering those noodles. I don't think I can have any noodle delivery in Cake. There's no restaurants. Then I found out the school district was looking for a maintenance technician. So I applied because I didn't have any choice. I had absolutely no building maintenance experience. They were asking, like they called me when we returned to Richmond and phone call interview saying, can you fix them that and that? I was like, I don't know, but I'll try to learn how to do that. Then they're asking the question, they said, this is the most important question, you gotta answer that. Can you fix the boiler? You know what my answer was? I said, what is boiler? I don't even know what the boiler is. They said, the boiler is the most important thing in Alaska. It's going to bring the heat and hot water and everything. And I am so sorry. I thought that I'm never going to get the job. Then they look at my resume. I say, 10 years ago, you were an airplane mechanic. If you know how to fix the airplane, I'm sure you can learn how to fix the boiler, no problem. And right there in the phone call, they said, you are hired. I was like, wow! You never met me, and I told you I don't have any experience. But they were happy to hire me because the maintenance technician, they came to the work drunk all the time. So they were like, oh, pastor, I don't think that he's going to have that kind of problem. And he has some kind of a maintenance experience. So I started working there and I found out that God was already preparing me 10 years before my time in Alaska, even through very difficult times in my life. Just like Isaiah 55 verse 8 said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Amen. That's how we started our ministry in Alaska back in 2010. And it has been 12 years since. By the grace of God, we became missionaries through the organizations called the Antioch Partners. In 2018, And Haines Presbyterian Church has been a faithful supporter for our mission, both with the prayers and also financial support. And we are very grateful for that. As you all know that in our village of Cake is 90% of population are Tlingit. And there's two clans, Raven and Eagle, right? So I lived there for a while, and I guess that I kind of assimilated into the culture and even how I look and people. Some tourists came to me saying, yeah, you guys have a Raven and Eagle, but what are you? Oh, I'm not Raven and Eagle. But I said, I may be a sparrow. Because his eyes on the sparrow. Yeah. Then with a blessing from the Lord, I got adopted into the family and about 3 years ago. And my Tlingit name is Sock. Sock. Meaning baby seal. Why baby seal? Maybe because of how I look? I don't think so. They simply gave me that name because of honoring their uncle, Ben. But it was a huge honor. Our 10 years of our time in Cake, they finally welcomed our family, into their community. You know, the Cake is remote, just like Haines. But Haines is not an island, the Cake is. If you don't know where the Cake is, it's about 100 miles south of Juneau between Sitka and Petersburg. And the Alaska Marine Highway System think that it's too far away from everywhere. We only get ferry once a month, which is really hard. And the seaplane is the main transportation, and we get two times a day in summer times, one time a day in winter times. But because we all know the weather like yesterday, we couldn't fly out. Time to time, no plane for a whole week. We even had somebody passed away because the medical plane didn't make it in. He was supposed to go to Mount Edgecombe Hospital the day before he passed away. The plane came and the ambulance went there to get him, and he was on the floor, died. As some of you heard about that, even Guardian flight crashed him from our own hometown. When something like that happens, it leaves a lot of pain and sorrow for the community. We haven't had any permanent law enforcement. You all know that VPSO. We don't even have a police or VPSO. If we have the VPSO, we are so thankful for that. But the last permanent VPSO quit his job because somebody shot his dog. It's been 2 years. With a little village of population of 500, has been so many crimes. The second year into our ministry in Cape, one of our youth were murdered right by the entry of our church. She was 13 years old, and she was the babysitter for my daughters. To make it worse, it was my wife found her. It was so hard. We thought that was the end of our ministry in Cape. We were asking God, why, God, why? It was just too much for us to bear. Then God spoke to me through my wife, saying maybe because it's so hard that God sent us there. If it's so easy, He wouldn't have sent us Cake. So we made up our mind to continue our ministry after that horrible tragedy. Then God blessed us. Our Sunday worship attendance doubled from 20 to 40 in 3 months. The girl's family started coming to church. Before then, she was the only one coming faithfully for almost like 10 years. She was only 3 or 4 years old, and she was walking right across from her place to our church, which is about 50 feet away. Just like Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. It was God who confirmed us that He was in control, even in the midst of our most difficult time in Cain.